الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing from the last session of Tarsi Hadith, the battle of the camel. Now obviously we are covering Tariq al-Islam, the history of Islam, and therefore it would be very important inshallah if the brothers can be regular in the Durus sessions, so that it's easy for everyone to understand exactly where we are and what is happening. In the last session of Darsi Hadith, we covered the Battle of the Camel, Jang-e-Jamal, which occurred during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in the region of Basra, a place which is known as the Buqa. And this battle was instigated by the Saba'i sect, those who were the followers of Abdullah ibn Saba, the same group that entered Madinatul Munawwara with the intention to overthrow Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, and in doing so, liyazu billah, they murdered Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. The very same group now came from Medina Munawwara with Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, with a hidden identity, and some of them had merged with the groups that were in Basra and Kufa, and they came with Hazrat Talha and Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. And this battle of Jamal, the battle of the camel, was covered in the last two sessions of Darsi Hadith. What we need to understand is that alhamdulillah, Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een are sincere people, and also the Tabi'een, those who are in the company of the Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een, were sincere people. And this confrontation between the two groups was not the doing of any of the companions, but rather it was a plan, a conspiracy, something that was staged by the Munafiqeen, the Saba'i sect. And in panic and in confusion, there was this battle that took place, which is known as the Battle of the Camel. Now we need to understand that very few companions were involved in this battle, the Battle of the Camel. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Zubair, and from amongst the women you had Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And inshallah, in our session tonight, what I want to do is explain to you the lofty status of each and every sahabi that participated in this battle, Jang-e-Jamal, so that we understand how sincere the companions were, especially the Shia sect. Very often you will find that they have this habit of launching an attack upon Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So you have to be very, very careful. With the other channels that are out there, you have the Qadiani channel, and then with that you also have three other channels that promote Shiism, and nothing but Shiism. And aliyazu billah, when you look at their faces and the rubbish that they put in front of people, and this is the agenda, my respected brothers, to confuse people. And it is so easy for a person just to see something and then to have this negative understanding of some of the great companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and which could also have an effect upon the iman of that individual. And so we need to understand who Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha is. even though she was with Hazrat Zubair and Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anha, it was never their intention, aliyazu billah, to go against Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And I don't want to repeat what has been covered. Alhamdulillah, that was all covered in the last session of Darsi Hadith. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is a very special lady. She came in the nikah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at a very young age. Her rukhsati was performed, the consummation of the marriage took place when she was 9 years of age. And when she was 18, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. But subhanallah, the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed her with. She passed away in the month of Ramadan, 17th of Ramadan, and Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an performed her janaza salah, and she is resting in Jannatul Baqi with the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A very special individual. What will the Shias know of who Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is? Allahu Akbar. And that we have to be firm upon our aqeedah, my respected brothers. We need to understand it is not the ulama that disunite the ummah. In fact, the ulama unite the ummah. The ulama unite the ummah and tell you what is right and what is wrong to save your iman. You can't just say yes to everything, yes to everything, yes to everything. It doesn't work that way. Subhanallah. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being rahmatul lil alameen, because he did not say yes to everything, he had to participate in the battle of Badr. He had to participate in the battle of Uhud, because he did not say yes to everything. Subhanallah. And so Islam is about Sharia, what is right and what is wrong. We need to understand in which capacity something can be accepted and something that is rejected. Who is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? Now, in front of me I have a few narrations, and all of them very carefully I have selected, which have been extracted from the Sahih Ahadith, from the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, so that we understand the virtue and the maqam of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, which is narrated in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that when I came into the nikah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw me, he said to me, O Aisha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me your face for 3 consecutive nights. Allah showed me your face in my dream for 3 consecutive nights, and your face was presented to me covered in a hijab, a piece of cloth which was of silk. And then I was told to uncover that cloth and I saw your face. And this picture was shown to me for 3 nights in my dream. And I was told that, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this lady will be your wife in this dunya and in the hereafter. This is the maqam of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah. This honor has not been given to any of the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Allah's Nabi is shown a dream and a picture is shown to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, even before she comes into the nikah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the status and the maqam of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I was only waiting for this moment to come, that your father would come to me and this nikah would be arranged. Because the dream of a Nabi is also a revelation. The dream of a Nabi is also wahi. And when Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, 2 women that came into the nikah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Sauda and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this is recorded in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. Another narration which is also recorded in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Amr ibn As radiyallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. And he says that I came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I said to him, Ayyun nasi ahabba ilayk ya Rasulallah, that who from amongst the people is most dearest to you? Who from amongst the people is most beloved to you, ya Rasulallah? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha. What did he say? Aisha. And then Amr ibn As radiyallahu ta'ala and says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what I mean is from amongst the men, who is most beloved to you? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Amr ibn As, Abuha, the father of Aisha. SubhanAllah. Abuha, the father of Aisha. And the father of Aisha was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. And so a very blessed family, my respected brothers and elders. And the reason why you'll find the Rawafiz and the Shia have this hatred for Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha because of her stance that she had taken in this battle, the battle of the camel, and that she gave a fatwa that immediately we need to retaliate. Immediately the laws of Qisas have to be enforced upon those who have murdered Hazrat Osman radiallahu ta'ala. And obviously she was also the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And that is why you will find that there is this hidden agenda with all of the companions, Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in. And Aliyazu Billah, their belief is that after the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of the companions except for a few have become murtad, aliyazu billah, have apostated, all except for a few. This is the aqeedah. My respected brothers, let not the amama and let not the turban and the garb and the jabba and subhanallah, all the fancy dressing that goes with the long beard deceive anyone. Shaitan worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many, many years, thousands of years, he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one gunah, one act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything was taken away. And so we have to be very, very careful. In fact, some of the ulama have mentioned that not even the other groups of people have harmed the Muslimin in such a way like how this particular group has harmed the Muslimin and the Muslim community. And this starts all the way from the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an until now. All the way from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq until now. In fact, from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very group which is known as the Munafiqeen is the foundation of these groups that you see scattered today amongst the Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save the Ummah. And may we die with this firm aqeedah that we are from the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaat, and that we have the love for all of the companions, and also love for the Ahle Bayt and the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is it that someone can disrespect Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? I'm not sure if some of you have read a book recently, not recently, but it has been translated now in English. The title of that book is Now I Have Been Guided. Now I Have Been Guided. And this book sometimes is distributed free of charge amongst the Muslim community. We have to be very, very careful, which promotes Shiism. And if you read this book, Allahu Akbar, and everything that is said about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, just to give you one example, that they will sit in front of the cameras with a book of hadith in front, and they will say that, oh look, this is a sahih hadith They will read the Sahih Hadith, but will give it a complete different meaning of it. A complete different meaning to mislead the Ummah. Just to give you one example, the Rawafiz, the Shia sect, Aliyazu Billah, in reviling the honor and the status of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, they cite one hadith, which is Sahih Hadith, and they say that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to the masjid and he looked at the companions and he gave a khutbah. And in giving the khutbah, he said to the companions that fitna will come from here. What did he say? Fitna will come from here. And so what had happened is that the way Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up in the masjid, the hujra, the room of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, was towards the east, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that fitna is from here, and this is where the horns of shayateen will also emerge. And so the Rawafiz quote this hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they say, you see, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed out to the room of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. It's like an imam saying here, ji, be very, very careful. Huh? Your enemies are just here. And if I point to Idris, and so everybody goes home and say, the greatest enemy is Idris. Huh? Does it happen that way, my respected brothers? Or if I'm pointing this way, Allahu Akbar, maybe towards Evington Valley, and say all the enemies are living this side. Doesn't mean that. And so there is another hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam also, which speaks about this. None of the ulama have mentioned this at all, except for the Rawafiz. And this is what they do. Change the meaning completely. Al-Iyazu Billah, how can one say that fitna comes from the room of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? Where is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam resting today? Where is he? Bole, bole. In the very same room of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. The very same room. How can anyone sane, mashallah, who has intelligence and intellect, how can he say, Aliyazu Billah, that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that fitna will come from here, pointing towards one direction, and it so happens that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's hujra was towards that direction, and to say that this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam means. And this is how they promote, aliyazu billah, the filth that is out there amongst the ummah, to confuse them. And you read this book, and now I was guided. And now I was guided. Aliyazu billah. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was actually saying that fitna will come from the east, what was he saying? It will come from the east. And that is why we have Sahih Ahadith, other Ahadith that explain the Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has even mentioned the name of that country. Some of the companions says, Ya Rasulullah, make dua. And make dua that Allah gives us a lot of barakat. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for Yemen. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for Syria. And then some of the people said, what about Najd? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, not Najd. That is where you will see that the horns of shayateen will emerge towards the east. There will be a lot of zilzal, earthquakes in that zone. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that. And in another hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually speaks of the tribe of Rabi'ah and the tribe of Muzr. And so this is just one example that comes to mind, my respected brothers, how you will find that some of these so-called scholars, they're not scholars. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They're not scholars. Scholars are those who promote the right understanding of Sharia. They are scholars. Many a times you will find that, aliyazu billah, people say, oh, that alim has said this, that alim has said this. But are you sure? Can you identify that person to be an alim? Can you identify him to be an alim? I have worked in Portugal for many, many years. Majority of the masajid there, in the beginning, you had imams that were leading people to prayers. And they were only imam because they could speak the Arabic language. And everyone would say, Mawli sahab, imam sahab, Mawli sahab, imam sahab, Mawli sahab, imam sahab. And so when you meet with these individuals, they were good people, pious people. But they were not Mawli sahabs or imam sahab in a way. They would lead people to prayers because they were fluent in the Arabic language. And if you went to that mosque, that is the imam. If you went to that mosque, that is the imam. That is the imam. But they were not qualified people. They did not read the usul of fiqh, the siha sitta, the books of ahadith, the right understanding of sharia. They did not have that. And so that is where the difficulty is. A lot of the times also in many parts of the subcontinent, you don't have proper scholars and people are just there. Subhanallah. And so that people come, groups come, and the imam sahab will just lead people to prayers. And that is it. It is very, very important, my respected brothers and elders, that we have a solid foundation. And solid foundation will come when you sit in the majalis of the ulama. Solid foundation will come when you sit in the majalis of ulama. When you sit for durus. Subhanallah. Even now, I can recall when we were young. Subhanallah. Not that we are old anymore. We're still young, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. But Maulana Adam sahab, in Jamia Masjid, when he used to give durus and dars, many, many years ago, in Jamia Masjid, we would sit for the dars when Maulana Adam sahab would give his dars. And we can still recollect everything what Hazrat would say, everything what he would say, all the qisas, whatever he would say, subhanallah. And your foundation is solid. Of course, it does not make you a perfect man that you are completely protected and you won't commit sins. Insan will commit sins. But the foundation is strong, and the foundation comes when you sit in the company of the ulama. Company of the ulama. 1 minute, subhanallah, will give you so much power, fuel and strength that you will not find in any other gathering. And that is why shaitan does not allow a person to get close to the ulama. And 100 excuses. No, this, we've got to do that, that commitment, we'll do that, do this, do that. No, sit in the durus programs. Your iman will be very, very strong, my respected brothers. And this is the barakat of the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The status of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, what a great muhaddis he was. And he has again recorded some of the incidents in his sahih. He says that Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, the companions, what they would do is, when it was the turn of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, as in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be at the residence of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, all of the companions would come and they would give gifts to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was with Bibi Aisha. And if they wanted to discuss any matter, anything that was of importance, they would wait until it was the day for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be at the residence of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now this was, it became a norm, a common practice of the companions. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had many wives, and therefore Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintained equality. And he would visit all of the wives, all of the wives. And so they would wait when it was the turn for Hazrat Aisha. Some of the Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in would come, and if they wanted to give hadiya, they would give it to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or speak to him. So now some of the wives did not like this attitude of some of the companions, and so they selected Umme Salama to go and speak to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so she came and she spoke to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the difference between Aisha and the rest of your wives that Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in are waiting to meet you when it is her turn, and that when you are in her hujra, why don't you make an announcement that they are free to come and visit you at any time? And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away from Umme Salama. And Umme Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha looked down, and then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at her again, and again she put the same question. Again Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at her. And then for the third time she said, Ya Rasulullah, the same question. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umm Salama, La tu'zini fi Aisha. O Umm Salama, don't annoy me with regards to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Don't annoy me with regards to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Tu'zini means don't give me taklif, don't annoy me. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, By Allah, revelation never comes to me when I am in the bedding or under the blankets with any of my wives except for Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. That even if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting with Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was so pure that wahi would come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst Bibi Aisha was close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he said to the wives, don't annoy me with regards to Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Again, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has also recorded another very beautiful incident. He says that on one occasion, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his hujra, and Jibreel Amin came to visit Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so when Jibreel Amin came, he gave salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Jibreel Amin said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you convey my salam also to Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala? And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hada Jibreel yukri'uki salam, that Aisha, here is Jibreel alayhi salam, and he is giving salam to you. Subhanallah. What an honor that Jibreel alayhi salam is giving salam to Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And she said, and she responded of course, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, it is your status and this honor is given to you that you can see Jibreel and I can't see Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is the maqam that is given to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And these are just some of the ahadith, virtues taken out and extracted from the sahih hadith, and only selected the sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. If we look into the Quran, then I'm not sure if there is anyone who is in the same league with Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, falsely accused Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, aliyazu billah, to be an unchaste lady, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 10 verses of the Quran, 10 ayats to prove her innocence, to acquit her from the false accusations. 10 verses of the Quran. I'm not sure, I don't recall for any other sahabi 10 verses have been revealed. But only for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And she was so God-fearing and so humble that she says that I feel overwhelmed. This is not the honor that I deserve, but it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, my respected brothers and elders. And so for these individuals to go out and speak about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, reviling her and talking about her in a way to promote that aliyazu billah in Jange Jamal, the battle with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, it was all about the fatwa and what Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had said to the companions. This is all a fabrication and everything is wrong. There was so much love between Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that on one occasion Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, when he was a khalifa, someone said to him, Amirul Mu'mineen, there are two people outside the door who are reviling the status of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he got so angry, he said, go and call Ka'ka for me. Ka'ka, sahabi. Go and call Ka'ka. And Ka'ka radiallahu ta'ala an came. And Hazrat Ali said, I want you to flog each one of them with 100 lashes for disrespecting the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, flogging each one of them with 100 lashes for disrespecting Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And after the battle of Jang-e Jamal, the battle of the camel, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala walked with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and of course she was in her hijab, but out of honor accompanied her. And he said to Hazrat Hassan that I want you to accompany Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha for one day. Travel with her for one day, all the way until the completion of one day, and then return back to me. This was the honor and the love that even the Ahle Bayt had for the wife of Hazrat Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so my respected brothers, alhamdulillah, we have to be very, very firm. Very firm. We are from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. We have the love of all of the companions, Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, including the Ahle Bayt. Including the Ahle Bayt, which is very, very important. And inshaAllah ta'ala, when we understand the history of Islam, it becomes easy for us to understand. And that we can also reflect upon some of the difficulties that we see around us today in the modern world. It will make it easy for us to understand what is happening in the Muslim part of the world also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana muhammadin nabil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.